other thing that we learned that guys want to know about is how to lead their family through a crisis. And if you've been a dad very long, you've probably had a few. And what role does faith play in that as you lead your family through that? And how do you interact with your family? And so I've invited some special guests to be here today to talk about that. Some of you may have watched the link that we put out through our My Sunridge email every week. But many of you know that I worked for the fire department before coming here, and I had the pleasure to work with a young fireman named Rick Arnold. And they're gonna be here to tell a little bit of their story and the way faith played into that. But today we have Rick and his wife Charity, and then their little girl Paisley, who is gonna steal the show up here, I promise you. So anyway, would you give a warm Sunridge welcome to Rick, Charity, and Paisley?
Father's Day. Hey, look it.
So, Rick and Charity are going to tell their story here in a second, but because Rick worked for me in the fire department, one of the first questions I wanted to ask him is one of our best and brightest, I'd say. Are you going to take the captain's test upcoming?
I'm having too much fun driving the big red fire engine right now, so maybe a couple years down the road. So captain stuff's too much responsibility.
Yeah. Heavy lies the crown, brother.
Yeah, exactly.
Heavy lies the crown.
So. Exactly. Yeah. Learn from your mistakes, right?
Yeah. You learn from mine, right?
Yeah.
He worked for me, so don't believe anything that he says if you talk to him after church. So, and Charity, thanks for being brave enough to come up here
and
face all these people out there. So the first thing I want folks to know is just kind of like how you guys met, and that's because that's a great story.
Yeah, so in 2008 I was going through paramedic school, and part of that program is 3 months of clinical time. You have to be in the hospital and, you know, starting IVs and practicing all those skills. Well, one of the days I was on my lunch break, and I went down the road from the hospital to a Subway, and so I was inside Subway just minding my own business, you know, thinking about IVs or whatever, and eating my sandwich. And then she came walking on in. And, you know, if anybody, you know, anybody that knows me knows that I'm not one of those guys that just gets up and goes and talks to somebody I don't know, let alone a beautiful girl. So I didn't have any friends around or anybody, like, pressuring me, but I just felt like this need to go and talk to her. But I wasn't going to have her, you know, sit down with her food and then, like, me go and ask her out and then get rejected and have to go sit back down and eat my salad. So my plan was if she gets her food and takes it to go, then I'll stalk her, you know, go out and introduce myself. So that's what happened. And I stalked her.
Kind of creepy, Charity, at first.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
No?
Yeah. I was trying to get in my car while he was talking to me.
Yes, she was, actually. True story. But, yeah, 8 months later, we got engaged. And then 6 months after that, we were married. So, And I was corrected the last service. We've only been married 5 years. This year will be 6 years. I said 7 years last service. It feels like 7 years, what I meant to say.
That's not good either. So what you should know is in the first service, I broke the man code, guys. I'm ashamed of myself, and I put Rick on the spot in front of his wife with, like, remembering dates and years. And, of course, he blew it, as we do.
Yep.
And then
you'll get your
Charity brought the thunder. You can see she's such an angry woman. She got after him right away.
You'll get your man card back later.
Yeah. I had to turn in my card.
Yeah.
So, bros, we don't ask those kind of questions of one another in front of our wives. So, anyway, then little Paisley comes along, right?
Yeah, so about, you know, 2 years, we told ourselves, you know, we'll be married for 2 years and then start thinking about having kids. And so, yeah, on October 3rd, 2012, we had Paisley.
And everything was great, right?
Yeah, I mean, every new parent, you know, stresses out about their baby eating and you know, things like that. But with her, it was just a struggle from the beginning, you know, with she just wasn't eating like a normal baby should, you know. And so about 6 weeks in of after having her, you know, we knew something was wrong, you know. Her eating wasn't good. She was failing to thrive, as they call it. And, you know, she was looked like she was just breathing really hard, really having a hard time breathing. And so at her two-month appointment, we let the doctor know about it. And the doctor was concerned, too, and, you know, tried changing her formula, and nothing really changed. And then at her four-month checkup, we let the doctor know about it again. And, we, you know, our major concern, of course, was the feeding, but the breathing as well. And my wife grew up with asthma, and so we figured maybe she has asthma, too. So the doctor... The doctor gave her a breathing treatment, and you know, it opened up her lungs. But the real problem was that she was in heart failure, so her lungs were filling up with fluid. Mm-hmm. And we were admitted that day into the hospital, and then the very next day we were following an ambulance down to Loma Linda. So,
yeah. So at that point, you just know it's serious, but you don't really know all the details, right?
The doctor, when the doctors made the decision to. That you know she needed to go to Loma Linda to see a pediatric cardiologist. She kind of came into the room and just kind of spouted off something real quick to me, like, "Yeah, her chest X-ray came back. She's got cardiomyopathy. Anyways, see you later." And like took off. And we're like, "What do we all do when we don't know something? Now we just look at our phones and we
start
Google
Googling,
stuff."
Yeah.
So you know, the rest was kind of you know just a whirlwind. But it was a whirlwind.
So eventually a doctor comes in, though, and, you know, tell us about how you heard.
Yeah, so when we got down to Loma Linda, of course, their team is, you know, surrounding Paisley and poking and prodding. And the initial pediatric cardiologist that we saw was looking at her echo and thought that she knew, you know, what was going on and thought that it was fixable. She just thought that one of Paisley's coronary arteries just kind of grew in to the wrong spot on her heart, and that they could just detach it and then reattach it, and everything would be awesome. Well, so a couple days later, she went in to get a heart cath done so they could definitively figure out what's going on, and we get called into we call it the bad news room, but you know we get called into the room, and. The doctor comes in, and you know, you could just tell right off the bat that this wasn't going to be good news. You could just tell it on her face, and she said, "It's not what I thought it was. I've got good news and bad news for you." And we're like, "Well, what's the bad news?" And she's like, "Well, it's not what I thought it was. Your daughter needs a heart transplant, but the good news is she's a great candidate for you know, for transplant." And there's quite a lengthy process that you need to go through for transplant, but yeah, that was a big blow.
Yeah. How did you process all that, Charity?
It was pretty devastating at first, obviously, but I don't know, it was...
You hear it, but your brain isn't processing it. You're like, you know, just totally in shock, and you just can't really comprehend, but at the same time, you know it's real, so it's just it's kind of hard to explain, but
So
I think... I mean, tears weren't even coming right away. It was just your brain was trying to figure it all out. And then, of course, you know. Then
you're just in shock.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's your little precious little 4-month-old.
Yeah, not us. Not our baby. What are you talking about? No way.
Yeah. So there's a lot of complications and events that have to take place in order for someone to get a heart transplant, right? Especially a little one. So what were some of the – tell us a little bit about – how that scenario plays out and what some of the sticking points were.
Yeah, with any transplant, staying alive long enough to get to that transplant is the biggest obstacle. So obviously that was priority one. Her heart was failing and she was not doing well at all. You know, she was intubated, had tons of IVs everywhere. I mean, it was, you know, just as you could imagine. They had to do CPR on her one night, and so getting her to the point where if a heart became available was a huge obstacle. So What they do is when they reach a certain trigger point and they determine, like, you know, she needs more help, you know, they put patients on ECMO, which is it's a heart and lung bypass machine, basically. It looks like some mad scientist, you know, created this big, you know, system with tubes and everything, and what it does is it takes the blood, you know, out of her body, oxygenates it, and then puts it back in. And Paisley was on that, and usually that's only good for about a couple weeks, you know, at a maximum, just because there's so much risk involved with strokes and stuff like that. You know, they're using a lot of anticoagulants with that machine. And then another thing that they did for her is she was a good candidate for a Berlin heart, which is it's basically your left ventricle that sits outside of your heart, and it's, you know, this machine pumps your heart for her. Well, they'd never done one on any child her size at Loma Linda, so that was pretty groundbreaking for them too. And they're able to transition her off of ECMO and onto the Berlin heart, which essentially bought us, you know, a couple more months, a few more months, you know. And so that was what we were holding on to. And you know, and then the biggest obstacle after that was just waiting, mm-hmm. you know.
So. But even when you go to those options like ECMO or the Berlin heart, those are kind of points of no return, right?
Yeah, when you sign that waiver saying, yeah, go ahead with this procedure, you know, ECMO, that's 2 weeks. Well, you know, we knew that when we signed it, so it's like,
yeah,
okay, possibly 2 weeks, you know, is all we have. And so, but that was really our only other option. Yeah. So, and yeah, there was a lot of risk with the Berlin heart as well. But you know, when you're in that position, you're willing to do anything. Mm-hmm. So.
And so now she's hooked up to all these machines, which are essentially her heart, right?
Exactly.
They're working as her heart. And now you're waiting. You're waiting for basically a tragedy in someone else's life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty bittersweet.
Yeah. Definitely. So tell me a little bit about that, how you heard about that.
Yeah. So it was the day before St. Patrick's Day in 2013. And, you know, it was just our normal. We'd get up, you know, in the morning right at their shift change, and we'd sit in the hospital room with her all day until their next shift change and kicked us out. So we weren't able to stay with her overnight, so that was always nerve-wracking as well. But one day we were just sitting there in the room, and, you know, they had a couple different nurses assigned to her because she had a lot of stuff going on, obviously, and the phone rings. And one of the nurses answers the phone and kind of covers it up like she's being secretive, and tells the other nurse, hey, stop the medicines and start running fluids. And so to me, you know, being a paramedic, I'm thinking, okay, stop medicine? What are you talking about, stop medicine? And running fluids, you know, is usually in preparation for, you know, some sort of procedure, surgical procedure. And then the two nurses go out, you know, and they're in the hallway and everybody's giggling. So we know something is going on, and so they call us out, and they say we have a phone call, and that pediatric cardiologist that we had initially seen at Loma Linda, who gave us the bad news, wanted to be the one to give us the good news. So she told us, you know, hey, we found a perfect match, and she's going to be going into surgery here soon. So it was, you know, one of the most amazing moments, you know, in our life. But at the same time, you know that it's somebody's worst day of their life. So, yeah, it was, like you said, bittersweet.
Yeah, yeah. So, Rick, I know from working with you that, you know, you had shared with me that there was a time where you thought about even being a youth pastor, you know. So tell us a little bit about what impact your faith in Christ had during this whole scenario.
Yeah, you know, growing up, I was just raised Christian. You know, we went to church a couple times a week and all that, and you know, that was my testimony. You know, nothing, I'd never been challenged in my life. My faith was never truly tested, and then all this happened. So there was a probably good, you know, 2-3 week period, a good 2-3 week period where I was mad, you know, really mad and angry, and didn't touch my Bible, didn't want to touch my Bible, I didn't want to hear about it, and But you know, I always knew that, like, you know, when something bad happens or traumatic happens in somebody's life, it's for some kind of good. Mm-hmm. And so I held on to that, and we held on to that, and so it came a point, you know, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks in, where we started kind of opening our eyes a little bit, and really trying to seek what that was, what good could possibly come mm-hmm. out of, you know, your 4-month-old daughter, you know, dying. And my wife had made a Facebook page for Paisley called Change of Heart for Paisley May, and in the matter of, you know, days, weeks, we had thousands of people, like, following the page, and the communities coming together from where we live in Apple Valley, you know, doing fundraisers, and it was just like, you know, God, no matter the outcome, you know, this is what you're doing, mm-hmm. you know, like, over time, you know, you start to lose faith in society, you know, and when you turn on the news and everybody's, you know, it's just doom and gloom. This was an eye-opener. I mean, there's amazing people out there in this world that, you know, that you just kind of lose sight of sometimes and become jaded almost. But, yeah, it just kind of snowballed into this amazing thing, you know, despite mm-hmm. the circumstances. And, you know, thankfully we were blessed enough, you know, with the outcome that we have. And,
So sometimes when you go through something like this as a couple, it can rip you apart or it can draw you together. You know, how did you and Charity lean on each other in those kind of challenging moments?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a man church, so as the man, I felt like I needed to be this rock, you know, all the time. But the reality of it is, you know, you just can't. And when you're going through something like this, as the man, you need to, you know, check it out the door, you know, humble yourself and know that you don't need to carry this entire burden on your shoulders. That's why you're married to your wife, you know, to share life with, you know, and these burdens. So I'd be lying to you all if I sat here and I said that, you know, I was the spiritual leader and I was the man throughout all this. I was a big baby throughout all this. You know, my wife is a lot stronger than me. And without her, you know, it could have been a whole heck of a lot mm-hmm. worse.
Yeah. So you guys really did, like, come together through your faith with each other.
Yeah. You know, there were good days mm-hmm. when we did come together, and you know, hey, babe, we're gonna make it through this. And there's days where it's like, all right, I don't want to talk to you. Don't talk to me. You know, mm-hmm. and I think that's normal. That's mm-hmm. natural. I don't think that it strengthened us while we were going through it, but now that we've gotten through it, yeah, we can take on anything. You know, so yeah, in the end, it brought us together.
Yeah. How many days was it? Do you know how many days you guys were sitting down there in the hospital?
My wife knows the exact day and hour. And
did I just
minute.
Break the code again?
No, because okay. I'm going to save myself right
okay.
now.
Okay.
Yeah, two and a half months.
Two and a half months.
Basically, yeah, from when we found out everything on Valentine's Day, and then were discharged after transplant. So, mm-hmm. yeah, incredible. 2.5 months, you know, that doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what was the darkest moment for you, or the biggest challenge you think you faced through this?
Oh, wow. I mean, of course, when you're initially told that, you know, your child is dying, and, you know, the only way to save them is transplant. I mean, that's a hard pill to swallow, and nobody wants to hear that. That's everybody's worst nightmare. So, and then I think, you know, the next biggest challenge was all the unknowns. It's such a process that nobody's familiar mm-hmm. with. Nobody knows, you know, what's next, what's next, what's mm-hmm. next. And then, okay, awesome. We got a transplant. Now what's life like after the transplant, mm-hmm. you know? And, so it's a humongous, undertaking. But now it's our new normal. And, mm-hmm. So, you know, another challenge we had was after transplant, Paisley was on 14 different medicines around the clock. So you can imagine me and my wife were, you know, taking shifts and taking turns giving medicines. And now Paisley's down to 2 medicines every mm-hmm. single day, which are the medicines she has to be on, you know, forever. But it's no big deal. It's it's like vitamins to you or I, you know, it just becomes routine. So, yeah. So those were the biggest challenges.
What about what's been the biggest surprise, like pleasant surprise out of all of this? Has it been like a light at the end of the tunnel or something?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, bad things like our story happen all the time, and they don't have the outcome that ours, you know, did. And we are, I mean, I can't even explain to you how beyond blessed we are. And so that's probably the biggest surprise that I have. Is how well she's doing, how she's thriving, and you can see her, she's got more energy than all of us in here combined. So, that's the biggest surprise. You just dealt with such bad news for so long, and then to see that is just a shocker.
Come through on the other side.
Yeah,
huh?
Absolutely.
So, what's the future hold for you guys and for Payton?
It's limitless. I mean, our biggest concern after transplant was, you know, what are her limitations? You know, how long does she have left with this new heart and all that? And the doctors told us, hey, you know, you guys, we gave her a heart transplant for her to live. So they said let her live. So yeah, I mean, future holds, you know, whatever she wants to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, for instance, you know, triathlon is kind of my thing, you know, and a man and a woman just finished their first Ironman races that had heart transplants. So, I mean, physically, you can push yourself however far you want to. You know?
Well, and amazing. I want to give a shout out to Loma Linda University Hospital, too. What an amazing facility, and the stuff that they're doing is just beyond even imagination, huh?
Absolutely, yeah.
So, there's parents out here, you know, a lot of the people that live in this valley are parents, and they go through different trials, you know. Not all of them have a four-month-old that needs a heart transplant, but they have challenges as parents. You know, what can you say to them? What, you know, like, you come through this, is there a lesson learned in terms of your faith that you can pass on to them? Or
I would just say that you're gonna be angry, and you're gonna have doubt, and you're gonna question your faith, and you're gonna question God, and you know, poor me, and hate the world. But my advice is that's normal, and it's okay to feel that way. But what's most important is hold on to whatever little bit of faith that you have left, and understand and know that there is a bigger plan, and it's not gonna become clear right away. But you just need to push yourself to endure whatever you're going through, and then God will start to open your eyes and show you why, and then it'll, you know, turn into something amazing. But but you know, hold on to whatever you have, because it's enough.
Yeah. Well, Rick, I want to say to you how much respect I have for both you and Charity. You know, I really do. You know, I do mean it, that you're one of the best and brightest in the organization that we work together in, and beyond that, I've just watched you, you know, walk through this, and I have like the greatest admiration for both of you. You know, the way that you've been, not only have you endured it, but you've been a great ambassador for all of the, you know, particulars that go along with going through this. I'm just really proud of you, and I'm glad to know that I got to work with you. And maybe you could call me friend instead of old man or chief sometime. You know?
Don't push it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Rick, for coming.
That's right.
What a great story. I hope that you are as blessed by the story as I've been just watching it, you know. So, ushers, if you'll come forward, while our ushers are coming forward, I just want to like stop in the service and say that, you know, many of you that are parents, you have similar challenges. They may not be at that level, but you have those dark days and the things that you're going through. Some of you are doing that without faith, and you just got a great example of how different life's challenges are for somebody who knows Christ. We have a hope through Christ, We have a peace that passes all understanding. It doesn't mean that life is going to be perfect, but it does mean that God has his hand on our lives and he's there with us. And at the end of our service, there'll be a prayer team up here. They're available to answer questions about that, about what it means to be a Christian or have faith. Also in your program, there's a little card that says In Touch on it. We would love for you, if you have a question, if you'd like to talk to somebody about faith or anything, we're totally available. You just put that on the card and put it in the offering basket. If we can pray for you, let us know how we can pray for you. And we do that every week. We divide those up. So thank you for being honest with us and letting us know how we can help you. And I just want you to know, it's like we consider that a trust. We don't share it with everybody, and we will respond appropriately. We won't do anything weird to you. So while we, in praying for the offering and praying for some of the challenges that some of you are facing, I do want to take a moment and also pray for the families in South Carolina that I'm sure you've been watching the news going on, so I'm going to do that as well. Thank you. Will you join me in prayer? God, thank you for this story that ends happy, and yet it has so many dark days in it. Thank you that you're a God that places in us a new heart and takes our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh. You renew us inside through the gospel and through Christ and his rescue of us. Thank you, God, that we can call ourselves children of God, and we can call you Heavenly Father. And toward that end, Lord, there are families today that are going through Father's Day, and they have great loss. Even those of the living, like this family of the young boy, that seems to have just lost his way and has committed such a heinous crime. I pray that your spirit would minister to all of those families in the situation that they're living in right now, whether they need your grace, whether they need the gospel, whether they need an awareness or a renewal of their faith. I pray that you would be close to them and that you would call them to you. And don't allow the evil one to push them away from you because of what has happened. And we pray that the church would rise up and be the church in this country and around the world, and we would demonstrate and show the love of Christ in any way and at any cost. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.